Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Dr. Hank Show. I'm glad that you're here, glad that you could take time to be with us. That is a sign, that's a sign of emotional health. Now, I mention emotional health because, well, today's show is called Open Mic. Open Mic. Now, what open mic means is that you can call in and ask questions, and share your thoughts, your stories, your quotes, your comments, even fairy tales. In other words, you can talk about whatever's on your mind. That's why the show exists. And if you're interested in calling in, and I encourage you to call in, the number to call is 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. And we do open mic just about once a quarter. Because in between the open mic times, we usually have a guest. But we always want to set aside some time just to talk to our listeners, just so that those who listen and want to offer comments and probably don't offer comments because they're listening to whoever our guest is, well, they don't get a chance to share their thoughts and ideas. So we want that. You know, we don't want it to be just a one-way conversation or one-way show where you tune in and you listen to me or you listen to our guests, and then that's the extent of it. We want you to participate. And one of the best ways that we thought that you could participate is by having an open mic session. And within a mic session, well, first of all, it's designed for you. You might as well take, you know, and use it. That's why we have it. It's there for you to call in and give your opinion. You know, they say opinions are just like noses. Everyone has them. So we'd like to hear your opinion as it relates to emotional intelligence or anything remotely related to emotional intelligence. So it can be emotional intelligence. It can be listening. It can be communications. It can be almost anything. And the reason we do that is to give you an opportunity to call in and share your thoughts and ideas. So about once a quarter, we have what we call open mic. And we really do have some good discussions and conversations that come during the open mic session. So I'm inviting you to give us a call today at 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. And give us a piece of your mind. And when I say a piece of your mind, not in a negative sense, because that's not what it's about, but in a more positive, in a more helpful sense. Okay. And so to kind of get us going or to kind of lead us off, I thought that it would be a great idea to have a topic we can all contribute to, that we can all offer some comments or thoughts on, and that topic is emotional health and well-being. Now, before I kind of get into that, just want to give a shout out to all of the folks who became members of the meetup group that I started. I started a meetup group here in the Tampa Bay area last week, and the name of the meetup group is Emotional Health and Well-Being, sort of the same as what the show is about today. And the reason I started that group is that it's just another opportunity to talk about, you know, emotional intelligence or listening or any of those things that we feel is important to have, you know, a good balance in terms of who we are and what we do. So I think there were about 8 people who joined the group over the weekend. And so I want to say thank you for that. I appreciate you signing up. But I don't want you to just be a member of the group. I don't want you to just be a group junkie, as they're sometimes called. No, that's for people who kind of have to be members of groups, but they never actually participate. They never offer anything. They just sign up. You know, they thought, oh, that sounds like a good group. I think I'll be a part of that. And they sign up, and then there's no real action. They don't contribute, they don't attend, they just sign up. And I'm not quite sure why they do that, but for those of you that join this meetup group, the Emotional Health and Well-Being meetup group, one, I'm sure you're not going to be that way, and two, I encourage you not to be that way. I simply encourage you to participate. One, you can call to the show. That's one way. Or you can send emails through the meetup group. That's another way. Or you can take on a leadership role within the meetup group to show that it's not just something that you can passively be a part of, but you want to actively be a part of. So I encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity. Okay. So that's enough about that. I just want to give a shout out to those folks who over the weekend to be a part of the meetup group around emotional health and well-being. So today the topic is emotional health and well-being. So the first question that most people would probably want to ask or probably want to know is, what is emotional health? What is emotional health? Well, I'm going to say it this way. You probably can Google it and you probably come up with a couple of different definitions, and that's a good way to kind of get into it. But the definition that I think is one that is sort of universal, I'm going to use the term universal in a sense. And when we use the term emotional health, it's a positive state of well-being which enables an individual to be able to function in society and meet the demands of everyday life. Positive state of well-being. In other words, it's about you having a positive way of looking at things, and then it allows you to be able to function on a day-to-day basis to deal with whatever the ups and downs and the pitfalls and things like that that come your way. Okay. But if you just want a written definition, here it is. It's a positive state of well-being which enables an individual to be able to function in society and meet the demands of everyday life. Now, sometimes emotional health is equated with mental health. And sometimes it's not only equated with mental health, it's sometimes used anonymously with mental health. In other words, people say, it really isn't. It really isn't. When we use the term emotional health, we mean one thing, and when we term emotional health, we mean something entirely different. At least from my perspective, we're looking at something that is entirely different. Okay? So when I use the term emotional health, I'm actually talking about how it shows up. I'm actually talking about what a state of mind that a person is in. I'm not talking about it from a mental standpoint in terms of what degree is an individually mentally stable, okay? So, for instance, let's say that an individual has a mental disorder, okay? We might call that mental disorder PTSD, just for the sake of discussion. I am not saying or using that to talk about PTSD. I'm using it as an example, okay? So please, folks, if you're listening, don't jump all over me when I use the term PTSD. I'm just using that as an example because people have heard the term PTSD, okay? So, and in most mental jargons, you will find that term listed, PTSD. Now, there are various degrees or levels of PTSD. So there can be, a mild case of PTSD. There can be an acute case of PTSD. So depending on the level in which it shows up, depends on how a therapist or a psychiatrist or a clinician may deal with the situation in terms of prescriptions of treatment. With emotional health, that's not the case. One, with emotional health, we're not talking about medication at all. We're using a methodology similar to, we're going to generalize and use a term like talk therapy. Or we're going to use a term like person-centered therapy. And it's not therapy, it's coaching. So I'm not to give a black and white distinction between the two in terms of mental health and emotional health. I am generalizing. So please, folks, if you're listening, see this as a generalization. A generalization only when we're talking about mental health and when we're talking about emotional health. As a matter of fact, this month is Mental Health Month. Yep. So, for those of you that are in mental health work, congratulations. I think we don't have enough acknowledgement around the work that is being done around mental health. There's some numbers out there, and I hesitate to use the term statistics, but there's some numbers out there around mental health that says at least one out of four people in the United States have mental health issues of some type. Mental health issues of some type. Now, that can be a mild case of PTSD, or it can be a strong case or an acute case of PTSD, as an example. But one out of four. So if you know three people and none of them have mental health issues, you're that fourth person. That must mean you. That's not bad. It just is. It just is. And we encourage people to seek treatment for mental health issues. We also encourage people to seek help for emotional health issues. Okay? So, we're going to focus on emotional health and well-being today. We're going to talk about things like what it is, and I've given you a general definition, but we're going to talk a little bit about that. Okay? We also are going to give some examples of what emotional health would look like when a person has good emotional health, and when someone's emotional health is not good. We'll maybe come up and look at and talk about a couple of examples around that. We'll also want to talk about how one might go about improving their health, because it's one thing to know about it. It's one thing to know that it's something that needs attention, but it's also important to know what you can do about it, you know, how you can deal with it. Now, if you've heard the show before, one of the things that we talk about is emotional intelligence, how emotional intelligence shows up in a lot of different ways. Well, the same way with emotional health. We cannot say emotional health is one thing, or emotional health is this, or emotional health is that. Emotional health, as I mentioned earlier, as a part of the definition, is if it's in good shape, then the individual is able to function in society and meet the demands of everyday life. If it is not, then the problem needs attention in some way or another, okay? And so those are the things we're going to be talking about today. So if you just tune in, one, you know that it's open mic. And open mic means that the show is open to anyone who wants to call in, give their thoughts, their ideas, ask questions, share stories, but I want it to be related to emotional health and well-being. Now, you didn't hear me define well-being, emotional health. A well-being is a part of emotional health. Let's put it that way. So that if you have emotional health, your well-being is probably in good shape also. Same, the reverse would be true. If your emotional health is not in good shape, your well-being, or you, as it relates to your well-being, is probably not in good shape, okay? So, any thoughts on that? If so, please give me a call, 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. Let me know what you think. The phone lines are open. And I'm here to take on all callers. So please give me a call, 929-477-1423. Okay, while we're waiting for our first caller to call in, let me just kind of tell you a quick story that has to do with emotional health, okay? Or an example, maybe an example around emotional health. A friend of mine several years ago worked for this really large company, okay? And this company, let's call it, we'll call it a petroleum company. And now this petroleum company typically made, you know, petroleum products such as, well, fuel oil or gasoline or chemical products, or if you barbecues, you know. But anyway, so this friend of mine, he goes to work every day, and then one day he came to me and he said, and this was an HR at the time, and he said, you know, he was feeling really, really stressed. I go, okay, you know, we all deal with a little stress here and there. Why are you stressed? I mean, what's causing or what's generating the stress? And he said, well, he says, they're thinking about making me a supervisor. I said, well, that's good. That's great. You know, congratulations for being considered for a supervisor position. And he said, well, you know, he says, that is great, and that is something that I want. You know, he says, but the more I think about it, making me nervous. I go, what? I thought everybody, you know, want to, you know, get promoted, move up in the organization. That's a part of, you know, the ideal dream of, you know, someone being in the workforce and then moving into a leadership position. And he said, yeah, that's true. He says, I do want it, you know. But what I'm reflecting on the fact that I might have to, you know, stay late. I might have to work on the weekends. You know, he says, And then I'm going to have to write up performance appraisals on people, performance evaluations. You know, he says, I'm going to have to assess how well people are doing their job. He says, I'm going to have to make payroll decisions about, you know, whether to keep anyone to stay over to, you know, when it comes to overtime. He says, I'm going to have to make employment decisions, you know, maybe on who to hire, you know, who to fill in some of the chairs when someone quits or leaves. He says, I'm also have to make decisions around, you know, when it comes time to discipline someone, you know, how will I know what is the, you know, the right amount of discipline to met out? And, you know, and if I discipline the person, they're not going to like me anymore. You know, he says, and I work with some of these people for the past, you know, 12 to 15 years. He says, so when I discipline them, you know, he says, they'll probably hate my guts from then on. He says, so that's why, or at least those are some of the things that are making me nervous. You know, he says, and frankly, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether I should take on that role of supervisor or not. Well, at that point, I asked him the question, do you want it? Meaning, do you want to be a supervisor? And he said, yes. Yes, I want to be a supervisor. I said, well, let me tell you. And I said, all of those things that you mentioned, those are some of the things that come with the position or comes with the job of being a supervisor. Okay. And frankly, I don't think that there's anyone that has ever moved into a supervisor or a management position that probably hasn't had some of those thoughts. So what your question really is how do I handle this anxiety and nervousness and things like that that I am experiencing now? Okay, let me just stop for a moment, because what we're talking about is emotional health. We're talking about emotional health. There was some things that was going on with this individual that was impacting him and his ability to perform his day-to-day activities. It was causing him stress. It was causing him anxiety. And actually, it was probably causing him more than that. But for the sake of discussion again, I think you see what I'm talking about. So in a normal situation, or a situation that most of us can relate to, there can be emotional health issues. Now, if this individual just simply worried about it and didn't take any actions, then he probably would have had other symptoms that probably would have started to show up. Symptoms like maybe losing his appetite, okay? Or maybe gaining an appetite where he starts to overeat. We don't know how people are impacted by things sometimes. Sometimes when they're in a nervous situation, they don't eat. Other times, they do eat, okay? Maybe this individual was a smoker. When people are having anxieties around something and they smoke, they tend to increase the number of cigarettes that they smoke, okay? Now, we know that smoking, based on what all of the scientific information that has come forth has told us, is that smoking is not good for your health. So he was aware of that. However, because of him and his excited state, he probably began smoking more. Okay. How else could it affect him? Well, some of the other things that he shared with me was that he had started to get short or become short when he was at home with the wife and family. In other words, because he was being impacted by something at work, he took it home with him, which we all do. We all take home our feelings and our emotions. So he took those things home with him. And then instead of having a discussion perhaps about what was going on and why he was feeling the way he was feeling, and that because of these things that were going on, he may from time to time be short or come across as not being receptive or not being a good husband or a good dad or a good father, whatever, and ask their forgiveness, or at least let them know that he was under this pressure. He wasn't doing that. He was just kind of holding on to it, and he'd get home, and then someone would say something or do something. One of the kids would do something as an example, and, man, he'd just fly off the handle, as the saying goes. He would jump all over him, okay? So because his emotional health was being impacted, it was also impacting others around him. It was also impacting others around him. So, yes, he was having issues. And what did he do? He then essentially transferred those issues or laid those issues on, you know, family members. Okay. So, having shared that story about emotional health, the other part to that becomes, so what could or what did he do about it? Well, we weren't talking about emotional health in those days, but we were talking about stress and stress management and how to deal with stress and stressful situations. So we sent him to a stress management class. Did it have any impact? Yes, it did. It helped him to be better able to, quote, manage his stress and deal with it, because he was able to kind of talk about what it was that was impacting him. He was able to not let it build up, but address some of the issues as soon as they came up. He was able to talk to his boss to let his boss know what some of his concerns were, so that his boss could then reassure him or let him know that, you know, these are common things that people experience or have, and that the organization was there to support him and back him up and provide training so that he could become a supervisor, so that they could teach him the do's and don'ts and the wills and wants and cans and can'ts and shoulds and shouldn'ts and stuff of being a supervisor or being a leader. Okay? So there was communication, and that's another one of those big keys. There was communication that went on that started to bring his anxieties down. So once he started to talk about them and share those anxieties with the immediate people, like his supervisor, share those anxieties with the family, those anxiety levels started to come down. So on a scale of 1 being low and 100 being high, and we're going to put him maybe at 85 or 90 on the anxiety scale, just for sake of discussion again, we put him at about 85 or 90 on the anxiety scale, then we can say that after he started to employ or utilize some of these different techniques and trainings and being more open about what was going on, what he was experiencing, he came down from that 85, 90 down to maybe 45, 50, and obviously lower. Now, he did become a supervisor, and then as a supervisor, you're still going to experience those things. You're still going to have some anxieties about stuff, but now he has support. He has the other supervisors there to talk to run things by. He had HR to talk to as it relates to, you know, employment issues and disciplinary issues and things like that. So he wasn't, quote, out there by himself. He had resources that he could turn to. Okay. He also became more resilient. And that's an important aspect of emotional health, and that is being resilient, being able to bounce back from setbacks. We all know that everyone is going to experience a setback here and there, and the question is, how quickly can you bounce back? And I equate that with a boxer. In other words, if you're a boxer, and most boxers anyway, boxers will sometimes, you know, get knocked down, and their first instinct is to get up as quickly as they can. They want to get back into the fray, if you will. But the referee usually cautions them a little bit and say, I know you want to be resilient and get back into the fight as quickly as possible, but you know, let's do that. Let's sort of ease back into it. So the referee will check their eyes to see if they kind of look glassy or sort of dazed or whatever before allowing the person to get back into it. But the example of bouncing back is meaning, it's just meaning get back into the work, get back into whatever it is that you're doing, whatever that setback was based on. If it was something that didn't go right and you failed at it, you know, don't just throw in the towel and say, well, that's it for me. You know, I'll never try that again because I didn't do well or I failed at it. No, you might say, well, that one didn't work out, but let me look at it from a positive perspective. What did I learn from that? Okay. And that is called reframing. And reframing is a technique we often use, or is a technique that is often used when something doesn't go right. We want to be able to reframe the situation and look at the positive side of it. Now, everything can't be reframed, and I'm not saying reframe everything. I'm saying reframing is one way to look at the positive side of a setback, okay? Because you are going to get setbacks from time to time. But anyway, we're talking about emotional health and well-being. And I gave you the example about the supervisor and how he experienced emotional health or an issue of emotional health around stress, okay? And what were some of the things that was done to lessen the stress? There's something called stress management. And there's something called stress tolerance. And stress tolerance is used simply to say, because you're going to experience stress, how can you tolerate it and manage it while it's going on? In other words, you can't just automatically start managing, because what is happening to the stress? It's still there. But you can have a tolerance for it that allows you to manage it and deal with it during the time that it is existing or during the time that's going on. Okay. Okay. Let's get back to emotional health and well-being, because that's the topic of the day. And I said that we want some callers, and I haven't heard my phone ring yet, so if you're listening to the show, come on, give me a call. I'm waiting for that phone to ring, 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. And the show is open to anyone, anywhere. So it doesn't matter if you're in Tucumcari, New Mexico, or Seattle, Washington, or Washington, D.C., if you're listening to the show, pick up your mobile device, your cell phone or landline. Just give me a call and let's talk. Let's talk about this thing called emotional health and well-being. 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. We now know what emotional health might look like, or at least an example. I kind of shared an example of it. Okay. So let's say that there is emotional health or someone is emotionally unhealthy. What can they do about it? How can they improve their emotional health? Well, first of all, improving your emotional health is similar to improving your physical health. Now, most of us know what we need to do when we're talking about improving our physical health. Well, just imagine, if you will, that you're talking about improving your emotional health. Okay? So there are different steps or activities that you can employ that will help you get your emotional health back on track. Okay? Now, I know when I say that, you say, well, okay, well, tell me one. Well, let's just think of it this way. Achieving emotional health and well-being is an active process. Achieving emotional health and well-being is an active process. In other words, you got to do something. It doesn't just happen. In other words, if you're emotionally unhealthy, you can't just say, okay, one day I'm going to be emotionally healthy and then don't do anything. Because guess what? You're not going to be emotionally healthy. Either it will remain the same or it will become worse. You will become more emotionally unhealthy. So, in order to become emotionally healthy, you have to do something, okay? And when I use the term do something, let's look at maybe five ways. This isn't the only five, but here are five ways to improve your emotional health and well-being. Now, if I say number one, don't think that this is the most important or anything like that. I just don't want to say bullet one or bullet two. These are not in order. These are things that one can do or should do. And most of us do these things at least, well, I'm going to say out of the five I'm going to mention, you probably do at least three of them each day. But it's how you do them is the key. So bullet one in this five ways to enhance or improve your emotional health and well-being is to keep moving. Aha. Keep moving. Now, when I say keep moving, all that is it's about exercise. Okay? It's about exercise. And it doesn't mean going and getting an LA Fitness membership or a Bally's membership or some health club membership. If you have one, that's great. And if you're using it, that's great also. Or if you want to go and get one, hey, I'm not saying don't get one. I'm saying there are other ways that you can, one, keep moving. Okay? Going for a 30-minute walk each day is a way to keep moving. That's exercise. Okay? And I said 30 minutes because that's kind of what, you know, most health maintenance organization suggests, that a minimum of about 30 minutes each day walking at a brisk speed is helpful. You want to kind of get the heart rate up a little bit. That's what you're after. So keep moving. And if you're not in the area where you can go for those extended walks, hey, you can stay right there in your office and do things, you know, things like, you know, get your chair and put your chair out and use your chair as an exercise equipment. You know, you can do sit-ups, you can do push-ups from your chair. Okay, that's a way to keep moving. You can take the stairs if your office has stairs and elevators. You can take the stairs if you're just going to the second floor or maybe the third floor. You can take the stairs once or twice a day rather than the elevators. that's a way to keep moving. Okay. And if you have, let's say, a limiting disability, there may be some other ways that you can keep moving. Okay. So keep moving, or moving is a good way, because what it does is it helps burn calories, and it helps you, you know, to get rid of, often to get rid of a tired feeling. Okay. So keep moving is one of those things. Okay. Another, and we're going to call it bullet two, is invest in relationships. Invest in relationships. Now, when I use the term invest in relationships, all I'm talking about is having relationships with others. And when I say relationships, meaning, you know, make friends, have people that you can talk to, that you can go out with from time to time, that, you know, that you can share information with, you know, some buddies, some girlfriends, some guys that, you know, you can do things with from time to time. That's investing in relationships. And if you don't have any of those, hey, I'm sure you have relatives, you know, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncle, maybe other people that you can talk to. And in today's environment, they have this social media thing, which allows you to develop, you know, friends fairly easily. So you can find people that, one, that you may have something in common with, and that's something that you can then talk about or share information about. Maybe, you know, you like to take trips or go on vacation. Can be any number of things or any number of ways to develop those relationships. But, yeah, invest in relationships. That's a healthy way, because now you're talking to people. Now you're sharing some things that, about what's important to you, and you're learning about what's important to others. So communicating with others, pretty important. Okay. Bullet three, never stop learning. Never stop learning. Now, let me be clear. I'm not talking about going and registering for, you know, an MBA or a PhD or anything like that. It just means that there's always an opportunity for you to pick up a book, or there's always an opportunity for you to go to a YouTube and learn perhaps about something new. Okay? A new way of dress, you know, a new way of fixing or cooking meals. You can learn about the new planets that are being discovered, or planets that's being discovered. There's just tons of stuff to learn about, is what I'm saying. So never stop learning, because when you're learning, it means that your ears and eyes are open. They're open. So when they're open, it means that you're in a good position to not allow things to just kind of set and fester. Okay. You don't have time to be idle. You're in the midst of doing things. Okay. So that was bullet three. Bullet four, give to others. Now, when I use the term give to others, that can mean a lot of things. So I'm not going to try and define it. All I'm going to give you is some examples. Most of us have clothes that we no longer wear. Give them to Goodwill. Give them to the Salvation Army or something. That is giving to others. Hey, we aren't going to wear those things anyway. So what do you do with them? You might as well give them away. There are times when you may be, let's say, in a store, in a restaurant, and something costs $1.57 or $8.28, and the person in front of you has the $8, but they don't have the 28 cents. Hey, I have it. I got it. Here's the 28 cents. That's a way of giving. In other words, if we look at and think about an assessment tool out there that we use a lot, or I use a lot, it's called the EQI 2.0. It's an emotional intelligence assessment that I use, and a lot of other people use it also, to assess the emotional intelligence of an individual. You know, it's accurate, but you're not assessing it to say you don't have emotional intelligence. What you're assessing is to see how well they utilize various skills. So we were just talking about giving to others. If we're looking at that from an emotional intelligence standpoint, that would be referred to or called social responsibility, being willing to give to others, not having yourself as the center of attraction, the center of concern, but you're concerned about the health and well-being of others. And because you're concerned about the health and well-being of others, you're willing to give. That's why you give to the United Way. That's why you give to the American Red Cross. That's why you give to make a donation to the blood bank. That's why you give your old clothes to Goodwill. Social responsibility. You feel that you have some responsibility for others. Okay? And that's your way of showing it. Okay? So the assessment tool, the EQI 2.0, Emotional Intelligence Skills Assessment 2.0, is designed to give you some feedback around that. Okay? So that's why I mentioned the EQI 2.0. There are tools out there, and there's terminology, there's language that's being used. And I want to kind of keep them all tied together to see how they relate to each other. Okay, now, the fifth bullet of these five ways to emotional health and well-being is savoring the moment. Savoring the moment. Oh, yes. How many of you savor the moment? Savoring the moment is pretty much the same as mindfulness. You know, we spend a lot of time, there are a lot of mindfulness practitioners or mindfulness coaches out there that what they try to get people to do is to free your mind up from a lot of clutter and other kinds of things that's going on and just kind of look at the inner self, focus on the inner you, okay? Focus on what's within. Be in touch with who you are. Okay, that's savoring the moment. Okay, some again call it mindfulness, or maybe there's another term that is being used out there, but savoring the moment, that's the fifth of those five bullets. Now, did you hear anything in those five, bullets that you just simply cannot do? I don't think so. I think everyone can keep moving. Everyone can invest in relationships. Everyone can, you know, kind of keep their learning cap on. I think everyone can give to others. And certainly think that everyone can savor the moment. So if you can do those, and you do those consistently, it's going to impact your emotional health and well-being. Now, I've been waiting for some calls, and no one has called. But that's okay. For those out there that listen and maybe say, well, I just need to write some of those things down. I need to see what this open mic thing is all about before I jump in and participate. I'm okay with that. Because I'm happy that you're listening. I'm happy that you chose to tune in and hear what this thing is all about. Emotional health and well-being. Okay. So I gave you some tidbits around what to do to improve your emotional health and well-being. Let's take a look at, just because we probably have about 10 minutes left, and there are a couple of things, other things that I'd like to touch on around this, okay? And one of them is Well, what does an emotionally healthy person look like? What does it mean to be emotionally healthy? Well, here are a few things that if you're doing these, or if this is something that is, you know, you see in others, then they are probably emotionally healthy and have, you know, good well-being. Emotionally healthy people, you know, tend to feel less stress and are able to relax even during panic situations. Emotionally healthy less, and they're able to relax even during panic situations. Okay. Here's another. Emotionally healthy people typically will have the ability to create fulfilling relationships. See, I was just talking about investing in relationships. So when a person is emotionally healthy, they're able to create and develop fulfilling relationships. Okay. Here's another. Individuals are emotionally healthy, or individuals who are emotionally healthy, have greater control over their emotions as well as their behavior. Individuals who are emotionally healthy have greater control over their emotions as well as their behavior. Now, that just about answers it all. Individuals who are emotionally healthy have greater control over their emotions as well as their behavior, because that's one of the things that we want to be able to do. We want to be able to be more in control of what we're feeling and how we're feeling and how we're responding to what we're feeling. We don't always know where the feeling comes from, but being able to reflect on it will help us to recognize and understand, one, what we're feeling, and two, why we're feeling it, okay? So that's a big, big, big part of emotional health, being able to recognize and understand where these emotions are coming from. Okay, here's another. Emotionally healthy individuals deal better with hard times. Emotionally healthy people deal better with hard times. Earlier, you heard me talking about being resilient. So what we're saying is that emotionally healthy people tend to be more resilient. They're able to bounce back from setbacks. So something didn't go their way. What did they do? Maybe they reframed the issue. So that they say, this was a learning opportunity, and here are some of the things that I learned from it, so that the next time I'll be better prepared, or the next time I won't even apply because I'll know that may not be for me. Okay. But in other words, emotionally healthy individuals deal better with hard times because they're better prepared to deal with it. Okay. Here's the last bullet in this group, okay? Emotionally healthy individual typically will have a feeling of self-confidence and greater positive self-esteem. A feeling of self-confidence and a positive self-esteem. Now, back to the EQI 2.0. One of the segments, or one of the areas that particular assessment looks at, is something called self-regard. How confident are you in your skills and abilities, or how well do you stand up and be recognized? How well do you step out and say, I am so-and-so, and I do so-and-so, or whatever? Or do you have a timid approach and you're sitting back and you're waiting for someone to ask, or you're sitting back and waiting? In other words, self-regard is being able to have confidence in who you are and what you do, and maybe even how you do these things. So when we talk about emotional health and well-being, it ties very, very well with emotional intelligence. I would say that the more emotionally intelligent an individual is, the higher his level of emotional health and well-being will be or will become. Because emotional intelligence is a skill that helps you grow and develop. Okay? So that's really, really what you'd like to have. You would use emotional intelligence as a vehicle to help you develop your emotional health and well-being. Yeah, it's a good way to think about it. You would use emotional intelligence training or coaching, and that goes to helping you develop your emotional health and well-being. I say this again, maybe I said it earlier, emotional health takes work. Being emotionally healthy takes work. It doesn't just happen overnight, and it doesn't just happen because you want it. You have to go after it. You have to go get it. Unless you already have it, of course. If you already have it, that's great. But otherwise, you have to go get it. You have to become emotionally healthy, not just wait for emotional health to take place. Okay? Improving emotional health is similar to improving physical health. I mentioned that earlier. I just want to restate that, because when we think about improving our physical health, we think about eating the right foods and getting plenty of sleep and getting plenty of exercise. All of that ties in very well with emotional health. Okay, well, first of all, let me thank all of those that tuned in today to hear the Dr. Hank Show and hear me talk about emotional health and well-being. I certainly would have loved to have heard you. So please, don't be a stranger, as we say. Tune in. Tune in. Call in. Share your thoughts. Share your ideas with us. Write the number down, 929-477-1423. Because we'll be back next week. We'll be back next week. However, next week we'll have a guest. But you can still call in and ask that guest questions or make comments. Okay? But please, please give us a call. That's why we're here. A couple of things before I go that's coming up. Number one, my book, my new book called EQ is for Everyone, or Emotional Intelligence for Everyone, is now available through Amazon.com. So you can just go to Amazon.com and order your copy today. If you want an autograph or a signed copy, send an email to me here at eqisforeveryone@gmail.com. That's eqisforeveryone@gmail.com. And lastly, in July, we're doing a certified emotional intelligence program over in Orlando. It's the only one that we're doing this year. It'll be July 26th through 28th. Hopefully, I'll see you there, or you can sign up. If you have any questions, feel free to give me a call, drhankshow@gmail.com. Thanks, folks. Go out and have an EI day. Take care. Bye now.